As I said this morning, we are so thankful and blessed to have or to hear from Pastor Wilkes last Sunday. So this morning we're going to continue our study in Philippians. Philippians 3, our text today is Philippians 3, verses 12 through 16, if you'd like to turn there. A book on this passage of Philippians said this: most people read biographies to satisfy their curiosity about great people, hoping also that they may discover the secret that made them great. The author goes on to say, I recall sitting in a grade school assembly many, many years ago, listening to an aged doctor who promised to tell us the secret of his long, healthy life. At one time, he was a physician to the President of the United States. I've forgotten which one, but at that stage in my life, it seemed it must have been Washington or Jefferson. All of us sat there with great expectations, hoping to learn the secret of a long life. At the climax of his address, the doctor told us, drink 8 glasses of water a day. Needless to say, they were all let down with the big secret to a long and healthy life. The book goes on to say in Philippians 3, Paul is giving us his spiritual biography, his past, Philippians 3, verses 1 through 11, his present, Philippians 3, verses 12 through 16, and his future, Philippians 3, verses 17 through 21. We have already met Paul, the accountant, who discovered new values when he met Jesus Christ. In this section, we meet Paul, the athlete, with his spiritual vigor pressing towards the finish line in the Christian race. In the final section, we will see Paul, the alien, having his citizenship in heaven and looking for the coming of Jesus Christ. In each of these experiences, Paul is looking at things. He's looking at things on earth from God's point of view. As a result, he is not upset by things behind him, around him, or before him. Things do not rob him of his joy. We must have the same spiritual focus, not to allow the things around us, not to allow the things of this earth to determine our joy. Paul was in prison, but he was also full of joy. Why? Because of Christ. Christ was his joy, and heaven was his goal. So the things of earth did not determine his joy. His satisfaction was in Christ and in the spreading of the gospel. Do we find our joy and our satisfaction in Christ and in the gospel today? If we don't, we need to find out what we are living for and what is controlling our heart. We know what controls our heart controls our actions. We know from the first half of Philippians chapter 3 that pride and self controlled Paul until he met Christ, and the scales fell from his eyes, and he gladly counted all that he had thought he gained as loss to know Christ. We must know Christ in the same way that we count all this world has to offer as loss, that we may gain Christ. We must wipe the scales from our heart and see Christ. Now that Paul, and Lord willing, all of us, have the right confidence that we've talked about, we have our righteousness through faith in Christ alone, not in faith and being whatever it is that someone would try to tell us is needed or is added to salvation, works of the flesh instead of righteousness of Christ. Our passage today tells us what is next. What do we do with this right confidence that we now have in Christ alone? Let's read our text and see. I'll read our text, Philippians 3, verses 12 through 16. Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Just in Philippians chapter 3, we have looked at the wrong confidence in the flesh, even though it might seem like the flesh has a lot going for it. It is still the flesh. It is still all things without Christ. We then looked at 2 weeks ago, as I just said, the right confidence found only in faith in Christ. We are only found righteous in his righteousness through faith alone. There is nothing we can add to our faith that will make us righteous in the eyes of the Lord. It is only his righteousness that we are found in Christ. Now that we have the right confidence in Christ, what are we to do? What is next? We will see today that we are to press on. Press on towards the goal. We know Paul's conversion brought about a new assessment of his goals and gave him the overwhelming desire to know Christ even more fully. Paul now explains how his present life is a pursuit in this new direction. He wants to make sure he is not misunderstood. He's not claiming that his conversion has already brought him to perfection. He has not reached that goal yet, nor has he been brought to that perfect completeness which he is aspiring to. What this does give him is hope. So first today in verses 12 through 14, we're going to look at the hope we have. First, we're going to look at hope, the hope he now has in knowing Christ. Now that I have already obtained this, not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. I have said it many times, our Christian life is a walk, it's a journey. After taking that first step of salvation, putting your faith and trust in Christ alone, we then don't stand still. We don't stop in our progress of knowing and becoming like Christ. We must move forward. We must grow in our walk, grow in our relationship with him. Think about a marriage. A couple have been dating, getting to know one another. They decide that they are ready to take that long walk down the aisle and get married. Now that couple is married. They do not stop talking to each other, although some might. No, that is just the beginning of their life together as husband and wife. Marriage is not the culmination of the relationship. They have not become the perfect couple because they are now married. It is the starting point. Some couples might think they know everything there is to know about their spouse when they get married. But every one of us here who has been married knows that is not true. You move forward in your relationship as you grow together as a couple, as you grow together in your marriage relationship. As you progress in your marriage, you really start to know and understand one another. That is what Paul is telling the Philippians. He has just told them in the previous verses of their righteousness that is only obtained through faith in Christ alone. But that is not the culmination of their spiritual life. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, Paul says. He knows he is still on a journey, still growing in his relationship and walk in Christ. He's referring back to the previous verses. The resurrection stands here not as an isolated one-time event, but as the culmination of the Christian life and Christian hope. This hope was expressed in knowing Christ in verse 10. That says, I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Paul's desire in this passage involves more. The ultimate spiritual redemption of our body, when all things shall be freely given to us. We see this also in Romans 8, verse 32. That says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus made me his own. We know he has not obtained his goal, but we see he is pursuing it. He is stressing that he did not possess perfection. He was not perfect, but he longed for it. We have already seen this in Philippians 1 in verse 10. That says, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Paul's goal is the last and ultimate goal of being blameless at the day of Christ. We know he has a goal. We know he has not obtained it yet. So what is Paul doing about it? Paul says, I press on. He is not giving up because he has not obtained his goal. He's not going to stop. He's not standing still in his Christian life because he has not yet achieved all that he wants to achieve. No, I press on. I press on, he says. I press on to make it my own. One commentary translated this verse this way. He said, I hope to reach it inasmuch as I myself have already been reached by Christ. I myself have already been reached by Christ. So I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus made me his own. John Piper has an article on this passage, and I want to summarize it for you as I found it very helpful and encouraging. He is talking about our position in Christ and the safety we have in him. He says, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. In other words, our security is not based finally on our grip on Christ, but his grip on us. The crucial thing to see is that the firmness of Christ's grip on us produces our pursuit of him. I press on because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Our security does not produce drifting or worldly indifference or spiritual disinterest. So the key practical question is, in what is Paul pressing on? Now we can look back at the previous verse and come up with a few answers as to what Paul is pressing on towards, or what he is pursuing. We could say from verse 11, the resurrection. We could say from verse 9, being found in Christ, not having a righteousness of his own, but the righteousness from God. Also, we could say from verse 14, the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Or we could say the answer is simply Christ. Since he speaks of longing to gain Christ in verse 8. All these things are true. Paul is pursuing all these things. Piper in the article goes on to say, Paul says he is pursuing something. That means that in his life, he was doing something specific. What was he doing in this pursuit? What does the eternal, secure saint do that confirms he is secure in Christ? The most practical answer is given in verses 7 and 8, which speak of his practical way Paul was pursuing Christ. It says, But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and counted them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Three times he says he counts worldly gain as loss. He gives three reasons for counting worldly gain as lost. First, he says, for the sake of Christ in verse 7. Second, he says, because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, in verse 8. And then lastly, also in verse 8, he says, in order that I may gain Christ. Piper says, my conclusion is that Paul is pursuing in Philippians 3:12 is ultimately Christ himself. And the most essential practical strategy of this pursuit is to count Christ himself as supremely valuable because of the surpassing worth, as the verse says, and to count everything but Christ as worthless by comparison. Why do we press on when it is difficult to keep moving forward? Why should we press on even when it feels like the entire world is against us and wants us to fail and to be stagnant and still in our Christian life? Why? Because of Christ. The verse tells us, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. You are his. He has made you his own, a child of God in Christ Jesus, in faith alone, through grace alone. So you press on, you pursue him. Right now, are you discouraged? Are you worried? Are you anxious? Are you not progressing like you would like to be progressing in your Christian walk? Paul would tell you, press on. Don't stand still, and certainly don't give up. Yes, we in the flesh can do nothing. We are fallen, sinful people who have not reached perfection, who in the flesh will never reach perfection. We in the flesh could be perceived as failures, but Christ, Christ Jesus has made me his own, so press on. How can we give up when Christ Jesus has made us his own? We can't, so we press on. You're not perfect. Press on. You fell into sin. Press on. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You are worried about what tomorrow might bring. Press on. If the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. Don't give up. Christ Jesus has made you his own, so press on. Then we see verse 13. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. This is the metaphor of the athlete. An athlete in a race. He says, I do not look back at my failures or success, but I strain forward with all determination so I can reach the goal and win the prize. He will not focus on the past and let it consume his attention or impede his progress in the race that is the Christian life. He would not let his Jewish heritage or his Christian accomplishments obstruct his current race. He knows he has not finished his race, so he strains forward to what is ahead. We can see from the development of this race metaphor, forgetting what lies behind, I do not look back, but straining forward to what lies ahead. The human effort is emphasized. It is important to note that Paul is not talking about salvation or how we are saved with human effort. This would be a direct contrast to what he wrote in the first 11 verses of this chapter. If we take this picture, this metaphor of a race, and at the times, the Greek games, the athlete had to already be a citizen. He did not run the race to gain his citizenship. And as we see, he starts verse 13 with the word brothers. These are people who are already citizens, already children of God through faith in Christ alone. Now, as children of God, we have the responsibility of running the race and achieving the goal God has set for us. As we run the race, we can never lose focus that all this straining, all this human effort, all the pushing and exertion of will, all takes place in response to God's upward calling. The divine call signals Paul's complete dependence on God's grace. Galatians 1 and verse 15 tells us, "But when he who has set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace." We see this in verse 14. "I press on towards the goal for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." One commentator said, "God works in us that he might work through us." Again, we press on. I don't give up. I press on towards the goal for the prize. Press on. We know from the previous verse in this chapter that Paul's goal was the complete knowledge of Christ, both in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Silva, in his commentary on Philippians, said, "The prize is clearly the culmination of the whole work of salvation, with all its implications, to which God has called us. That is the great hope that sustains Paul, even in the midst of discouragement and frustration." We see the hope, the true Christian hope we have, as we forget what is behind, and as we strain forward, we press on to the goal for the prize. And we do this because of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He calls us to press on. You have not obtained the goal. That's okay. Press on. For the hope we have in Christ Jesus, we press on. Then in our last two verses this morning, verses 15 and 16, we see growth. We first looked at the hope we have in pressing on to the prize. And now in the next two verses, verses 15 and 16, we see growth and maturity. Those verses say, "Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained." Silva, in his commentary, breaks these two verses down. These verses consist of three sentences, each containing two clauses. The first one, "As many as are mature, let us think this." The second sentence, "If you think differently, God will reveal this also to you." And then the third sentence, "Only to what we have attained, by the same we should walk." The first sentence, Paul is simply exhorting the Philippian church to share the humble perspective to which he has just talked about. Those who are mature think in harmony with what he just said. If you are mature in Christ, think this way. Have hope and press on. When he uses the word mature, He is not meaning sinless, but is referring to a level of spiritual growth and stability in contrast to younger or newer Christians. He is calling those who have progressed in the faith to recognize truth that he has just written about. If the Philippian believers are laid back in their pursuit of spiritual goals or incorrect thinking they have already arrived, or incorrectly think that they have already arrived at perfection, they need to understand Paul's declaration. If they agree but still differ on some point, Paul is confident that God will lead them to the truth and their minds are open to his leading. Second sentence, if you think differently, God will reveal this also to you. The verse says, if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Silva writes that the statement in question is a reference, not so much as a disagreement with what Paul has just said, but to the more general disputes that the congregation has experienced. Certainly, Paul's frequent reminder to be humble and put others before yourself throughout the letter consistently speaks of the need for greater unity among the Philippians. Paul is not precisely asking for agreement with his statement in the preceding verse. That point would be without saying, but rather he is reiterating the great theme of the epistle, an appeal to humbly for the sake of the congregation's unity. Then the third sentence, only to what we have attained by the same we should walk. The verse says, only let us hold true to what we have attained. Paul's point in this verse is clear. The Philippian church must behave in a way consistent with the truth they have already known. Growth comes through obedience. Let us hold true to what we have attained. Spiritual growth is so very important. It is what Paul and all Christians are running for in their Christian life. Each believer should exercise fully the degree of maturity he has already has. Hold true to what we have attained. This is a call for Christians to maintain a consistent life in union with the understanding of God's truth they already know. Paul recognizes that Christians, though progressing down the same path, may be in different stages of progress, and should be faithful to as much of God's truth that they currently know and understand. Paul is telling the church at Philippi, now that you are true believers, now that you have taken that first step of salvation and you have put away the flesh and you are a new creation in Christ, you are to press on to pursue Christ, forgetting those things that are behind and pressing on. As Piper said, we pursue Christ and his superior worth. We must find our satisfaction in Christ. And we do this by pressing on to increase our treasuring of Christ. We do this by counting everything else as rubbish when compared to Christ's. We must look at what the world would consider satisfaction and consider what they would consider treasure. Things like money, a big bank account with retirement funds, a house, a good job, big elaborate vacations, even our families and friends. The world looks at these things and counts them as gain, counts them as treasures. But we know these things. We know in and of themselves they are not wrong or sinful. But as true believers, we must look at them as rubbish compared to the value of knowing Christ. I want you to think about this that Piper closes the article with. He says, the question is not whether you are perfect. Paul said, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect." Neither Paul nor we will be perfect in this life. The question is, are you pressing on to make Christ your own? That is, are you resolved day by day to count Christ as your supreme treasure and count everything else as rubbish by comparison? Press on. Pursue Christ today. Let's pray. Lord, our gracious Heavenly Father, first and foremost, we praise you for the salvation we have in Christ alone, in faith alone. Lord, we know that there is nothing we can do to warrant or earn our righteousness in you. But Lord, it is righteousness in Christ through faith that we can stand redeemed. And Lord, now this morning, I pray that we would press on as Christians. We would press on in our pursuit of knowing Christ. Lord, we know that we are securely set in Christ. And Lord, today we pray that as we progress, as we move forward, as we strain forward in our Christian life, that we would press on to know you. Lord, that we would grow in our spiritual walk. Lord, I pray we wouldn't be people that are stagnant or standing still, but Lord, we would be people straining forward to grow in our knowledge, in our love, and our faith in you. Lord, we know that we can only do this through your great grace. So Lord, today we pray that we would receive the grace that we need every day to press on. Lord, I pray that if we are discouraged, you would give us the grace to press on. Lord, that if we are hurting, you would give us the comfort to press on. Lord, I do ask that today we would humbly seek you and we would humbly press on, count you as our treasure. Lord, we pray this in your name. Amen.